This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company, from America for America.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Oh, did he get it? PCA down the line, and it's gone! Number 15, raise the roof, and it's 2-0.
Join now my Pete Crow Armstrong curveball down. You took out 15th of the year. You have a ton of barrels below that portion of the zone. You're dominating there. Why are you still locked in below the zone?
That's some of the natural ability that I think a lot of us carry on with us as we go. But, it gets me into some trouble a lot of the times, too. And when I'm able to execute, it's nice.
Lance Brozdowski, as we broadcast live from the Scores Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. That was him on Marquee, and he joins us now via the Circa Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circa app today. Lance, as you heard, not only works for Marquee, just an excellent player develop analyst for the network, can talk about a lot of different aspects of baseball, not just in pitching, but also just prospect development when it comes to swing, I think, mechanics, and just the nitty-gritty of baseball that I really enjoy. So without further ado, Lance, we're happy to have you on Raheem and Harris on the Score.
Rami, how are you guys doing?
We're doing about as well as the Cubs right now, just kind of cruising along, enjoying the summer, hoping that this weather today can hold, which we know it won't, but we're hoping it can hold for longer than maybe it is going to. So that's the story. We know the weather was a real factor in this last homestand for the Cubs, but now they get out of town, they take on the Washington Nationals, and then it gets really interesting when you're talking about the team with the best record in all of baseball, a dominant Detroit Tigers team, and then the Phillies to round things out. This seems like a very pivotal 9-day stretch because you're playing 9 games in 9 days, and you're not going to get much rest after today.
Yeah, you're going to get some really good pitching, too. Mackenzie Gore, I think, is going to start one of these first 2 games in Washington, and then you're getting Scooball on Friday. So, I mean, this is one of the top 3-4 offenses in all of baseball, based on any metric you want to look at, the Cubs. And you're matching up against some of the best pitchers in baseball. You know, like, you could pound up on the White Sox and the Rockies and the Marlins all you want, but, you know, this team has playoff hopes and aspirations, and it seems like those are, I mean, looking really probable right now. So I'm locked in on some of these bigger matchups versus better pitchers, because that's what you're going to get in the postseason. Like, you're going to face some of these teams in the NL, you're going to get the Phillies, and they're going to roll out 3 or 4 starters that are, you know, arguably better than any starter you have. And you gotta, if your offense is this good, you gotta put up against some of the bigger arms in baseball.
Lance also joins us on twitch.tv/Chicago 670 The Score. Lance, I was really excited to talk to you when I heard you were coming on, because you've been studying, ever since he's been a Cubs starter, Jameson Taillon and the mix of pitches that he has. I am reminded of a couple years ago when he first introduced the sweeper and how that had negatively affected his other pitches. When you summarize that, and please do so for us in this discussion, how do you feel about what he's done this year to make everything sing the way he has with that kick change that he's added?
Yeah, so the sweeper is like, I mean, it's this funky pitch where you're basically cueing curveball and you're allowing like the seams of the baseball to create the lateral movement. So it's become in vogue as the league and sharper teams in baseball have started to get a really good understanding of like how the seams of the baseball interact with the air. And I know a lot of people like go, oh my God, I don't care about this. But you know what? Like the most basic thing, and I like this idea. A lot of the time, two-seam and four-seam fastball are thrown exactly the same. Your cue as a pitcher is the same. Just rip it, right? You're trying to throw as hard as you can. The reason the two-seam moves to the right is this concept of seam effects. And understanding that and utilizing that in a way to your advantage as a pitcher and as an organization, as Tommy Hotovy and Casey Jacobson and these other guys in the pitching department, that's how a lot of teams have gotten an edge. And I wouldn't say the Cubs are like the team that does the most crazy creative things. You know, the Yankees are probably in that vein this year, but the Cubs are definitely a sharp team. They put a lot of resources into a variety of these things, and the sweeper is a good example of that. And the kick chains is also a good example of that. Tyone has always had, like, I wouldn't say a problem with left-handed hitters, but to me, that's always what I'm locked on every single year is, like, what is he doing differently versus lefties? Early last year, it was like, let me move the fastball off the inner third of the plate, kind of play this, like, outer third game with the four-seam and a cutter. And then when you look at it year over year, it was like, okay, we'd love to get more swing and miss versus left-handed hitters. The changeup was never that great. There's this new thing called the kick change, which is essentially this idea that you can, like, spike your middle finger on the ball. It allows the ball to drop more. And as a result of that, generally when you're chasing drop, you're generating more swing and miss. So it's kind of like a pure two-strike weapon for him. But I like it because if you have a hitter who is maybe has a bat path that lines up more with the curve, which is his primary lefty swing miss pitch, you could kind of toggle to the changeup, work it more down away, and it works really well. So he's a guy who's always tinkering. I know he's run into some lefty barrel problems this year, but I'm comfortable saying that he's like a three or a four in this rotation, and he's going to give you his 160 plus, and he's going to be a better than league average pitcher. And that's really valuable in the pitching puzzle, especially when you have a guy like Steele go down.
Well, what do you think it says about the fact that he's been able to isolate in adding this new aspect of the kick change? And then also, as we've seen, he's brought back that sweeper a bit. Like that shows some improvement to me when it comes to just the pure pitching aspect.
Well, he's a really sharp guy. Like, I really enjoy talking to him. He's probably one of my favorite pitchers on staff to talk through and just chat ball with. I ran to him at CubsCon. We had a good conversation and occasionally try to grab him in the clubhouse and chat. And I think he thinks about pitching in a really fun way. One that lines up on my side with the nerd stuff, right? Like, there's a lot of guys who are just kind of grip and rip it and, like, might be great people, but from a nerd standpoint, you know, I don't often, like, get a ton of insight from them. And that's totally fine. But with Tyone, I tend to have really good conversations, and I really respect his time whenever I get it. And I just think he thinks of pitching in a really sharp way. You know, he went to Tread Athletics, this kind of third-party player development company, this offseason, based out of North Carolina. They're, like, the innovators of this kick change that has now kind of taken over the league. And I think he's really receptive to things like this. Like, he's very aware. You can listen in his post-game press conferences as well, which we put up on our marquee YouTube and stuff. Like, he's very aware of, you know, his deficiencies as a pitcher, where he needs to correct. And that gives me confidence that when he runs into something like the lefty barrel problem, that in a starter or two, he's going to clean it up. And he already has. Like, his last three have been really good. I know he gave up that monster shot to Ellie, but Ellie's a very good hitter. So I think he'd even say, you know, he pitches how he did and gives up one tank to Ellie. That's probably a good start.
Yeah, that was more than a monster shot. That was the moonshot's probably not the right word. Yeah. So that 117.4 miles per hour off the barrel is pretty strong. Speaking of development, guys who are tinkering with things, this is more of a mental thing, but hearing Ben Brown after his appearance, not a start, although Craig Counsell technically said it was the best start he's had all season, even though he came in the second inning. What did you make of what Ben Brown had to say about his approach when it comes to the first inning? And do you feel like this opener thing is going to be a recurring theme, or is he going to be weaned off of it rather quickly?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think they'll use it sparingly. I think the idea would be to get him back to starting comfortably. And maybe it's more a matter of, like, figuring out what his mindset was as an opener and parsing and copy pasting that to the point where he comes out on the mound on the first and he's that locked in. I just think that opener, specifically with the Reds, was a bit funky because they just saw him, you know, and they stacked lefties. Like, if you could flip Ellie around to the right side, he's a much worse hitter. So it made a lot of logical sense to go with some lefty, whether it be Theobard, ended up being Pomeranz, to kind of open and force Terry Francona on his hand, where it's like, are you willing to take an extreme disadvantage in this first inning and then let Ben Brown, cook? And I think that ended up working out. As whether they continue to do it, we'll see. They already have a TBD on Wednesday's game. Or is Wednesday's game? Thursday's game, excuse me. And that is Colin Ray's spot, I believe. Obviously, he's coming off kind of a rough start. Maybe they do it again. Like, I don't know the Nationals lineup at the top of my head in terms of where you'd want to flip guys, but it could be a similar scenario where, okay, James Wood versus lefties, he crushes lefties. You'll probably take the platoon advantage there slightly. I think Abrams switch, so you could flip him around to the right side where I imagine he probably has a little less pop. So maybe it works out to their advantage where, again, it's like, oh, okay, let's put a lefty in here and give them an extreme disadvantage here such that a couple of their best hitters, you know, are now basically only getting three productive ABs and will take away that fourth. That's kind of the thought process around the opener. And I think the byproduct of that is kind of the mental side, as Brown talked about, where it just locked him in, you know. And, you know, he's also a really cerebral dude. And I just wonder whether it allowed him to kind of take a deep breath. And it worked. And kudos to the department for bringing that up and pushing it in that direction. I don't know how many teams would be comfortable with that. You know, I feel like the opener was the thing a couple years ago. I wouldn't say it's like died off. The Tigers are going to see this weekend. Did it a ton last year and used, you know, piggybacking bullpen guys, etc. But yeah, it's a sharp move by the org.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate. Then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Lance Brzozowski, Marquee Sports Network player development analyst, joining us here on Raheem and Harris, talking about the Cubs and all the guys trying to do different things as they get ready to head out on a 9-day, 9-game road trip. They've won 14 of their last 18 games, 6 of their last 7. But they're facing some stiff competition on this road trip, beginning with a Nationals team that has played pretty well as of late. They've won 4 of their last 5, coming off wins as far as series-wise against the Mariners and the Diamondbacks. I'm looking at really this Michael Busch question, because we've been advocating here on Raheem and Harris that this man needs to see more left-handed pitching.
Cliff Floyd has too.
Yeah,
Cliff bears the torch.
Listen, he's in that camp. He knows better than us, just from a handedness standpoint, if you will, and obviously a Major League Baseball standpoint. Lance, what is it going to take for him to start getting starts against lefties? The numbers bear out that he can hit lefties.
Yeah, this is a tough one. So I run into this a bit. You know, it goes to a larger discussion I was having the other day with Cole Wright in the Marquee Studios here about, like, clutch, the element of clutch. And this idea that, like, I think of clutch as, like, okay, if you're a 280 hitter and you hit 280 in clutch situations, you're just who you are in that spot. As to whether you can ever get a sample large enough in clutch situations to be like, wow, this guy plays up, and we see it over 2 to 3 to 4 to 5, 6 years where it's a large enough sample where you're confident and then projecting forward, is a bit different of a story. Whereas, like, I think we generally view clutch as like this element of the guy did it once, therefore he is clutch going forward. The data doesn't necessarily back that up. And as you see a lot of departments operate in the way that they don't totally believe that data is predictive, for example. And I'm using this metaphor here, analogy, to bridge it back to Bush in terms of lefties. It's the same concept where you run this weird gambit of, okay, most of the time we know that like lefties have a disadvantage facing other lefties. And to the extent that Bush, he hasn't been totally productive, in my opinion, versus lefties this year. He's got a 494 OPS. So you put that on the table and you go, okay, like this is what we have. I know he hit him a little better last year, but this year he's not hitting particularly well against them. So you then get to the angle of like, okay, are we confident that by giving Bush more ABs versus lefties, he will then improve and get to the point where he's maybe 100 WRC plus, so a league average hitter, and then that makes us more confident going forward and actually playing him versus other left-handed pitching.
I guess the question is, Lance, how do we get to that point if we don't give him a chance? I you know, going off his career numbers, and then yes, maybe not as good of late, but he has to get the opportunity to prove it, right?
Yeah, the argument against your data collection is you would measure regression of others rather than consistency of one. Consistency would argue that it is therefore valuable. It's the regression of others that would indicate that the lack of consistency would prove your data.
It's true, but the other angle is like, okay, is his swing just not going to work versus left-handed pitching? Like that's the angle here. It's like Tucker is an exception where he's incredibly good versus left-handed pitching. PCA is a great example of that. I don't know if we have enough sample to say that even if Bush were to see a bunch of left-handed, so if he was a league average hitter last year versus lefties, what do we go back to 2023? Is that sample large enough? I'm trying to look. Not enough big sample there. So you have like two sides of the coin here. I'm not totally convinced that if he sees a bazillion lefties, or not a bazillion, let's say he gets like 200 plate appearances versus lefties throughout the course of the season, you know, and he's a 50 to 70 WRC plus guy. Like that's a massive hit when you're either facing other left-handed pitching, especially when like you go Friday and face Skubal, you know what I mean? So maybe it's a matter to me of like lining him up against specific lefties where you maybe think he has more of a shot, but yeah. I think teams are always going to operate from the standpoint of like, this guy has some bit of a disadvantage. I would imagine they're not just going off the fact that he isn't good versus lefties. There's probably something they're looking at in the underlying data that suggests to them that even if we were to give this guy 300 plate appearances versus left-handed pitching, he would be better. That's my struggle, is like assuming that, you know, because the angle would be in 3 weeks, he faces a bunch of left-handed pitching and he's terrible. And then it's like, okay, it didn't work and you're at a disadvantage. Now, because the offense is so good, maybe you allow yourself a chance to be more aggressive in these situations. But I'm just not totally convinced that it would work in the sense that, like, he just needs more ABs and then all of a sudden he'll be great versus left-handed pitching.
Yeah.
He slugs down in. I don't think a lot of lefties are going to throw him down in. He's going to be elevated where he doesn't cover as much as down in, and he's also going to be swept away where, again, he doesn't cover as much as he does down in. So, like, if his swing is grooved to cover down in, I'm not totally convinced him facing lefties all of a sudden will allow him to cover sliders away and sweepers away and stuff. So I struggle a little bit with the idea that he'll just get better versus lefties by seeing them more. I know that's counter to, like, the intuition of just letting him try it out.
I think it's great conversation, Lance, and that's part of what makes what you do so valid. Is that the next question is, if that's the case, then how sustainable is it for the Cubs offense when the margins do matter, when they're not 15 games above 500, when they are fighting for playoff contention? How sustainable is it to continue to platoon the way they are between him and Turner?
It's a great point. I mean, the problem to some extent is probably Turner's production overall, right? And it's like you look at like Johnny Long and some of these guys down at AAA and you go, oh, would he be better? And I know that like Turner brings a lot of elements of the intangibles. And like, I think that's incredibly important, even as a data guy. Like some of those elements I think are irrefutable in terms of what they can add to a clubhouse. So that's a great question. I don't think I have an answer for you. I think that the Cubs are going to probably take another 2 months to figure it out and then get to deadline time and realize whether they, you know, you end up in a playoff situation where you're facing a left-handed pitcher. You know, Bush probably doesn't start that game if it's a good lefty, and then you can use him as a pinch hit tool late. But then are you confident in what Turner can do from a plate approach standpoint to actually put up a marginally better WRC plus than a guy like Bush in that spot? I fortunately don't have an answer for you in the sense that, like, it's going to be definite. I think the Cubs will tell us their confidence level in that by what the roster looks like on August 1st.
Well,
as cop out of an answer as that is, but they're going to tell you through their actions as opposed to what they're saying. And I think that's the reality of a lot of sports.
Makes sense.
Well, and to add on what you're saying, you know how important the offensive production is now at a first base in baseball, especially when you consider what's happening at third. So that I feel like if we've got that data, so do they, right? So that's part of this equation too.
Yeah, no, it's a great point. I mean, everyone is using all of this information to try to optimize their lineup as much as possible. And I think that it gets back to the Bush point of like, they're looking, I'm just going to defer to what they have on the swing data and approach standpoint stuff, you know, to the point where it's like, well, maybe give him some lighter lefties, but like if he faces Skubal and some of these other guys, like it's a disadvantage to our team to be able to do that. And I don't know, like as to whether that's correct process around a guy like Bush, who looks, I mean, has been an incredibly productive hitter and looks like a slam dunk acquisition for the org right now. I'm not entirely sure, but I think that matching him up in spots where he can succeed is probably the premise they're leaning on. And it, so far it's working. And I get that it seems like he should face more lefties. I'm not totally sold that's the correct approach.
Lance, this has been awesome just to get real seam head and real in the weeds with you, both on hitting and on pitching. It's a rare occasion that we get to do it, and we appreciate it here and you joining us on The Score.
Thanks, Lance.
Thanks for having me, guys. Yeah.
Yeah, and we're going to nerd out more often.
Yeah.
We've opened up this Pandora's box. We love it. You can catch more of what Lance does, of course, on Marquee. And he mentioned that YouTube channel as well. I think the world of what Lance does, even on Twitter, his feed is really compelling. So check it out if you get the chance. You will not regret it if you enjoyed this conversation.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.